Okay, we're live.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the study session of the University City Council to order on September 13th, 2021. Before we begin the storm response topic, are there any changes to the agenda? And please know that I cannot see everybody while we're sharing the screen, so it's fine, but you need to let me know if you have any changes to make to the agenda. Hearing none, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, tonight we're presenting to you a proposal for the removal of debris after storms occur. And so we would like to get direction from you on when you believe that is appropriate to provide the community with those services. I have tonight Director over Parks, Recreation, and Forestry, Mr. Dunkel, that will be presenting this item. Mr. Dunkel?
Are you seeing the screen?
Not yet.
Okay.
Nope. I see it. I saw it.
Is it up now?
No, we're seeing the study session reminder.
Okay.
We're seeing your screen. We're just not seeing
it. It's okay. Yeah, let me.
There we go.
Okay. Honorable Mayor, Council, thank you for having me here tonight. As Mr. Rose had stated, working on our session tonight on storm response. The purpose is basically to clarify our roles of our personnel and establish operating procedures and policies in response to tree damage during storm events. As you're aware, we had two major storms that came through the city during the summer months, which caused a lot of damage in areas around the city, and we wanted to bring forward what we're currently doing and proposals as we move forward with that. Basically, in breaking down what a severe storm is, we looked at what some standard definitions were and looked at the National Weather Service. Basically, as you see here on the screen, that severe storms are defined as thunderstorms that produce 1-inch hail or larger in diameter and winds equal or exceed 58 miles an hour, or there may be tree damage or downed trees with freezing rain, sleet, and snow. And, you know, the past two storms were, you know, pretty much in that category of the excessive wind nature. Looking into the definitions of how we have broken this down into severe storms, we have classified them into three groups: minor storms, major storms, and catastrophic storms. A lot of these have some of the same similarities. They maybe differ a little bit, but basically minor storms, you know, we maybe have some road blockages, fallen trees, large limbs or overhead hazards. And we try to remedy those within 24, 48 hours of the storm. And then we begin our storm pickup, which could take up to 2 weeks after the actual storm event. Major storm. Some of the same events happen with that. However, these are a little more intense storms, a little more intense damage, that instead of taking just up to 2 weeks for storm cleanup, we're looking up to possibly 4 weeks at the end of a storm to do that. Then you get into the catastrophic. These are more such as maybe a tornado type activity in there, and these, some of the same things will happen, that we'll have the road blockages, the fallen trees, limbs, and hazards, but they usually take over 4 weeks at the end of the storm event just due to the nature of the storm itself. And kind of get into the definitions. One of the things that we have heard, at least on the staff side and everything after these storms, a lot of people don't understand what the difference between public right-of-ways, private and common property, public trees, and private trees. As you can see on your screen, the public ways are those that are publicly owned by the city, usually streets, sidewalks, tree lawns that we maintain. Private and common property are usually your private subdivision, someone's home, their yard, driveway, and it can be common ground areas. Public trees in general are those trees located within the public right-of-way. Most of the time, these are trees that are located in the tree lawn areas between the curb and the sidewalk. Private trees are trees that are located either on private property or common property, such as common ground, maybe private cul-de-sacs, those sort of things. One of the first things that we look at in our cleanup and as we get called in or as we're watching a storm coming in, we look at the emergency or hazard conditions. We work with the police department and the fire department on this too, is identifying downed power lines, blocked roads on major or primary arterial thoroughfares. And we look at the things on the public and private roadways that should be assessed and cleared. Basically, our first response after getting called in, you know, in these types of events, we want to make sure that all the main streets are cleared. And when I say by that, that means that all trees that might are large limbs that have fallen on a public street, that we push them to the side of the road so that emergency vehicles will have access in and out of those roadways. And we also look, since we have several roads in town that are either St. Louis County or MoDOT, we also contact them to make them aware of those hazards and their rights-of-ways as well. Then we look, after we go through our arterial roadways, our main thoroughfares, we look at the non-arterial roadways. We look for the same conditions, down power lines, blocked roads, those sort of things as well. And we go through those roads, push things to the side so that emergency vehicles can pass. And again, we contact the county. And usually those are counties because the MoDOT's roads are much larger than this area here. Then we go through with our forestry supervisor who goes around and tries to identify all the potential hazards that may exist. These are usually hanging large limbs that may be over the street or a sidewalk. And if we have down power lines, those sort of things. So he can direct his crews of where to go, where the hazards are on the forestry side, so they can cut down those limbs, those sort of things, and contact Ameren if there are down power lines, because we do not mess with trees that are down that are involved power lines. After we do that, we start our cleanup process. This usually means that we go back through these arterial and non-arterial streets and make sure not only are the streets cleared, we go through, and if there are blocking, you know, driveways or entrances to buildings, those sort of things, we try to clear those areas. And we pick up the debris that has fallen from the public trees that are placed in the public right-of-ways. Trees on private property are the responsibility of the private property owner, or in some cases, the common property owner if it's common ground area. If it's a downed tree, public or private, on private or common property, such as homes, driveways, yards, that will be the responsibility of the private or property owner. They may elect to contact their homeowner's insurance for a claim. And because the city will not go on private property and remove a tree from a home, off a car, off a driveway. And if they desire, they can file a claim with the city manager's office and with our insurance company. And we recommend that a police report be done for insurance purposes as well. However, if the tree, if it's a street tree or whatever that falls the opposite direction and falls into the public rights of way, we will remove that tree so that there will be passage by emergency vehicles, those sort of things that will clear the tree in that case. Again, any tree, limb, or portion of a private tree, that's the responsibility of the private owner, and that may not be placed on the street or public right-of-way for pickup. However, through our normal refuse collection, that they can bundle trees that no greater than 3 inches diameter, no longer than 4 feet long, and they can set that out with their regular service for pickup. If it's a major or catastrophic storm, the city manager may elect to provide additional services to private subdivisions and common property. And in cases like we've had in a couple of our past major storms that we've had come through here, that has been the case, that city staff has gone through some of the private subdivisions and collected and hauled off debris in those areas. But that's not with every single storm. That would be up to the city manager on the major catastrophic storms. And this information, if we do provide these services, will be posted on the city's website and other social media outlets to inform the residents of what we're doing. At this time, I'll entertain any questions or concerns anyone has.
Mary, you're muted.
If we can move back from sharing the screen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There we go.
I believe, Gregor, do you want to speak first or do you want us to open it up for questions?
Mayor, I think at this point we can just respond to any questions that you have.
Okay. I don't necessarily need to be first. I do have a couple of comments. I will yield to anyone who would like, whose hand I could possibly see. Mr. McMahon.
I just have a couple of questions. I think, thank you, Mr. Dunkel, for the presentation, and hopefully that helps to clarify some of the issues that I know we've seen and some questions we received. The two questions I have is, if we have a storm that's not in the major catastrophic area, just your run-of-the-mill storm, and suddenly your folks see a limb out in the street, how do you determine if it's from one of our trees or if it's a private tree? And I'd extend that question a little bit to also, how do you identify, there are some areas, let's say down on Oak Brook, where we've got a park essentially that runs through the, you know, a nice divider between the north and southbound lanes. And I've heard people just dump their debris from their homes, their branches in there, and that now becomes a city problem. How do we deal with that?
That's, some of those are difficult because we can't be everywhere all the time to see what private residents are doing and what they're bringing out. But in general, in a normal minor storm, if there is a tree that we identify that's out or a large limb, we usually pick it up in those areas. But there are cases that we can tell, and we see that people are cutting down trees in their backyard or they've hired a private contractor and they're piling up out there. We do not pick that up. But some of it, like I said, we can't be everywhere. And like with Oak Brook, you know, that is public property, and if the debris comes from public trees, yes, we do clean up those areas. But unless we identify or catch someone going and dumping, you know, debris there, it's kind of hard to stop that practice.
And then that kind of gets to my other question. If we have situations like we had this last year with the two storms, and we extended some services that were in addition to the usual, how will we communicate so that we don't give the impression that every storm and every branch will now fit this category because we offered this assistance on these occasions? And I'd open that up to discussion for everybody, because I think that's kind of where we end up with some of our issues is the expectation. I have a branch that falls. Oh, you can just put it in the street. The city will get it. How do we make sure we can get that communication out there so the folks don't put them out when it's not a catastrophic or major storm?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember McMahon, I think after we received direction from the council, the intention is to work on the communications end of it. To say this is what our policy is at this point. If you recall, there was no real policy that was in place. It was something that simply administratively I authorized because I thought that a need exists. We have some time now to communicate what the policy is, and Darren will be able to work with Ms. Macaluso in getting that information out, as well as when we intend to provide those services. We certainly will be placing that on social media as well as within the community report. So we'll try to do a very good job in communicating when we are intending to provide the service.
Thank you.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Mr. Rose, this is probably a question for you. It's a twofold question, probably. I don't recall that in the budget we have allocated any type of emergency funds set aside for any type of storm mitigation purposes when, as it has happened recently. Is that correct?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, that is correct. We did not at the time identify, we had no idea that a storm was going to occur. And so there was no funding that was set aside for it.
And then, so my, that leads to my other question. And I know this was a difficult question to ask because of the personnel involved, but do you have any idea, maybe a really rough ballpark figure of what it costs us to be able to provide this service?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, I believe that Mr. Dunkel has developed some figures on that. Darren, do you recall what the cost is?
I don't have right now at my fingertips the total cost of manpower for us to do that, but we can get that information. But from picking up the debris itself, you know, and having that, you know, tub ground that's on the council agenda tonight, and that's around, you know, $19,000 just to have the debris ground up, you know.
And was that for both incidents, the $19,000?
No, that's just from the first incident.
And do it
pile for the second one that we haven't gone out to bid the price for yet. We're working on.
That leads to my next question. Do we do all of this tree and storm damage removal in-house, or how much of it do we contract out?
All the removal was done in-house between forestry, parks, and street department. The only thing that we're looking to contract out is the tub grinding of the materials to produce it down to mulch so that we can use for our residents, as well as that we use it for the dog park and other areas of our parks.
Thank you.
Before I yield to Mr. Hales, someone has some background noise, so you may want to mute if you're not in dialogue. And then Tim, just for the regular session, you kind of have your slow speech audio going on again a little bit, just giving you a heads up for that. So we will try to pay attention. We may need to repeat some of your questions or comments during the meeting if it continues, just more as a heads up. Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. So I want to second what Steve said earlier, and I had written down here, but I do like that the decision was made, particularly after the first storm, which was, I think, quite a bit more intense than the second storm. But my biggest concern is that how this can cause confusion. And I've seen it even since the second storm in my own neighborhood. A limb fell off of a tree that was privately owned, and it's been chopped up and it's sitting in the street. And so I like the policy. I like having policies and working through these and talking through it. But my biggest concern is the confusion, potential confusion it can cause, which I think is what Steve was getting at. And I think that's mostly been addressed. The second question I have, which is probably for the city manager, as it relates to private subdivisions, as they do take care and maintain their own trees and own their own trees, just to confirm, the city, if there's an event where a private subdivision street is blocked and blocking emergency vehicle access, is that something that the city will come and at least move out of the way to create that access?
Honorable Mayor, Council Member Hells, yes, that is correct. We must ensure that our emergency vehicles have access throughout the city. So the private subdivisions are included in that type of removal.
Okay, thank you. And then secondly, and I think this is more for Mr. Dunkel, when there are trees that fall in public rights of ways, public right of ways, I'm not sure which one it is, is it, would you like for residents to pick up the phone and call the city and report it? I think looking back on it, I think the city has something like 80 miles of public streets. That's a lot of ground for the forester to cover and for other folks to cover. Do you want residents to be proactive in reaching out to the city and reporting where there are problems?
Yes, yeah, that is very helpful. Like you said, we have limited manpower. And when we get called in on a storm, most of our manpower, our boots are on the ground and they're taking care of hazard issues and stuff. So they maybe not get all the way through the city or certain areas, you know, as timely as people would like. So it is good to know if there is a street, you know, a tree blocking a street that's causing a hazard or a power line down so that we can adjust our manpower to those areas as well. So that is very helpful. Right now, from an internal standpoint, I'm working with CNON, and we're coming up with basically a phone tree of how we're going to be dealing with some of these things in-house. And what the practice has been in the past is that, you know, if it's a non-emergency, people have been calling the non-emergency police phone number, as well as they've been calling our forestry phone number. And sometimes they call just the main number here at City Hall. So they're calling different numbers and getting different people. As we move forward with this process on a communication standpoint, we would like to get it streamlined so that they're all calling one number so that we can have one person that's handling the information and disseminating that to who needs that. So, yes, we do encourage residents to call in. And as we move forward with this, we will have that information out there, what the proper number and who to call.
Thank you. And then there's also been some discussion that I've read recently about, and we've also had some power outages related to these storms, which to me is expected. But it seems that most of the utility poles are typically in the rear of properties and adjoining properties. And can you talk about the responsibility for those trees and Ameren's role, because I believe almost virtually all of them are sitting within or encroaching upon their easement.
Yeah, in that case, we would encourage residents to call Ameren directly and let them know of that. I mean, we can, if they call us, we can also contact Ameren, but that is a Ameren responsibility because we're dealing with times high voltage lines that is something that we don't want the homeowner to try to remove that tree from a power line, nor city staff do we deal with the power lines as well. So the best case scenario is to contact Ameren directly because they will ask for an address, you know, specific address to take care of that.
And my final question is related to limbs falling on one-way streets. And is there any sort of priority given to that? Because that creates a real challenge for people to get in and out.
Yeah, well, not just I understand one-way streets, but we look at all streets. And if there's a limb or a tree that's blocking passage, we want to push it to the side as soon as possible. So not only our emergency vehicles can have safe passage, but our residents can have passage as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I think Wayne had his. Wayne, did you have your hand up for? No, Stacy, you're on mute.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Had a couple of questions. I did want to comment first. I did want to underscore the need for clear communication. Echoing my council member colleague's previous comments, I think the distinction between the gradations of storms and all those things are going to be challenging for the layperson. So as clear as we can be, I think we'll make things easier for all of us. Let me ask a specific question about trees in the tree lawn. It's my understanding trees in the tree lawn are generally barring some extraordinary circumstance, city trees. Is that correct? Let me test that hypothesis first.
That is correct.
Okay. So if this is my tree, if it falls this way onto a house or car or something privately owned, the city will not remove the tree in this circumstance. Is that correct?
That is correct. So
if the tree fell this way into the street, the city would come and remove the tree.
That is correct.
So I think for me and our the viewers, the listeners, those who may view this later, would want to understand why the city does not come out in this circumstance, but would come out in this one.
I don't remember, Councilmember Clay, it's an issue of liability. And if a tree falls in a home, our practice is to send that through our insurance company to determine whether the city has any liability or not. So it's not just if a tree falls on a city street, then it may damage another city property. But if it falls in a home, then it's damaging private property. And so that's why there's that distinction there. Our removal of that tree potentially could cause additional damage as well to the private residents or to the private property. So we encourage the resident to go through their own insurance company and to make their arrangements to have their tree removed.
But they can, as I think the PowerPoint indicates, can make petition through the city.
That is correct.
If they believe that's appropriate. There is a mechanism by which they could potentially seek remedy through the city.
They have the ability to file through our insurance company, and that's what we will do, is send it to them for evaluation to determine if there is any liability that the city might have. But I can also share with you at this point that, and John can probably chime in on this issue, John Mulligan, because the city has thousands of trees and we can't know the condition of each of those trees, it is unusual that the city does have liability. So normally those situations are considered act of God. And so the city generally doesn't have liability in those cases.
Thank you.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just very quickly, and I do appreciate Councilmember Clay's comment and questions, is because I've never experienced in these past couple of storms literally intact trees falling over, still touching the property of the street line and falling on houses. So I'm hoping that with the communication that we're going to be sending out, that we really explain that to residents, because that became, and I know the city manager knows that, because it became a real question. Even though I knew the answer to the question, I still had to address that to, you know, the property, you know, to the city manager. And, but that became a real question in the last couple of storms. The question that I do have, and I wanted to say this real quick, if the city manager, if you could, Mr. Rose, verify what was the breakdown after the second storm, because it just seemed to be a big delay in reference to picking up branches and leaves. And I think what it seemed to me that happened is that we didn't realize that second storm created almost as much debris, if you understand what I'm saying. Maybe it wasn't as strong as that first storm, but it created almost as much debris. And there was some kind of, there was a real distance in time when that was addressed and picked up. on the streets over here. If you could explain that, please.
Sure. Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, there was miscommunication for the second storm. There was certainly the initial belief that the second storm wasn't nearly as severe as what the first storm was. So there was questions about whether we should actually be providing that service again. But once it was determined, and understand that that took all of, I think, less than 24 hours. So once it was decided that we would indeed provide those services, we started moving very quickly. And keep in mind that we did not have a slow response to the removal of the tree limbs out of the streets. We simply had a slower, maybe 24 hours or so in time response to moving the tree limbs that people had placed in the street. I think that, this policy will certainly help us in that end. Now it is clear as to when we intend to provide that those services to the community.
Okay, thank you. And I just have one more question, and I just kind of want to end this. It's a little silly question. When you have trees that are uprooted completely intact, and this is probably silly, but it's Darren Dunkel's question. Why can't that be replaced, put two large pegs in and hammer it down and right back in place? And I know that's a silly question, but I'm really asking that seriously, in that it just seems, why, once that's uprooted, is that the end of the tree? Is that correct?
That is correct, because it's once you disturbed all the roots, because you maybe see certain roots, but there's other roots that are damaged. And once those roots get damaged, the strength of that tree has been deteriorated, and it's, regardless of what you do, if that large of a tree, it's not going to stay in place, and it's going to end up dying over time.
Thank you.
If I could just ask a couple of things for Gregory and for Darren, it would be my thought that whatever method you are using, whether it be a video interview, whether it be roars, whether it be a synopsis of this information on the website, probably all of the above, I hope that you will make it almost send it directly to the trustees of a lot of the neighborhoods, because I think part of this needs to be us getting the information out to people who are getting those calls. Because I think, as most of us know, usually by the time the citizen contacts one of us, they've already contacted somebody else, and they've usually got some level of misinformation out there. I am very grateful that we were able to provide this service for both these last two storms. Clearly, I think that we've been in a position to be able to do that financially, and I think the citizens recognize that. I do believe that we have created that expectation. So I think those of you who are going to be here way after I am gone, it's kind of one where we've got to remember that we created this, because I'm not sure that for the rest of it, I'm not sure how many other times the city has done this that often to help citizens out in this way. So it is incumbent upon us to set the parameters and the expectations and to get this thing out as efficiently as we can to everyone, so that they know the rules of the road. Sir, I don't see any other questions coming from any of my colleagues. I do hope that Gregory, you will pass along, and Darren too, to all the members of all the crews who helped all of our citizens during those past two storms. I mean, really, it was that was a lot of work for a lot of people, and we appreciate it. So, you are muted. You are muted.
And I was just saying thank you, and I'm sure that Darren will pass that along to the crews that were out there working very hard.
If if we are done with the study session agenda, do you want to move rather quickly into at least part of the executive session, or people rather take a break?
I think we could actually get through the executive session.
Okay. All right. Well, if that is okay, Since the study session is now concluded, I would welcome a motion to go into.
Mayor. Sorry, we just need to make sure Mike can get us into the next room.
Okay. Can we check with Mike real quick and see if that works?
Going to closed session for.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I need to read the motion if you can, and then if you tell me we can't do it, then no one will make the motion. How's that?
We can do that. We can adjust them.
All right. I would welcome a motion to go to closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of action, litigation of a governmental body, and any confidential privileged communication between that governmental body or its representatives or attorneys in leasing, purchasing, or sale of real estate by a public governmental body where public knowledge of the transaction might adversely affect the legal consideration. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smothers and seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there discussion? Hearing none, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay? Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. The ayes have it. We are going to leave this meeting, and then we will skip down and go to the executive Zoom invitation. Am I correct, Mike?
Sir.
And to the members of the public, thank you very much for joining us.